What's up, apes? Hope everybody is having a phenomenal day out there. I know you're having a better one than me because I just got ejected from my beer league softball game here. So don't ask me how that happens. That's a story for another time. It's actually not even a beer league. It's a church league. And that's largely why I got ejected. So we're not off to a strong start tonight. But of course, we had to come with the Daily Peels live video here for you guys for the day. It is currently 9:27 p.m. on this beautiful Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Welcome again to the video stream. My name is David. Let's go ahead and get into things. We are, of course, talking everything markets. That's going to be moving the tape for you guys tomorrow. So of course, just going over the most important stuff here. Going to try to keep it a little bit shorter so you guys don't have to listen to me yapping quite as much here. But let's go ahead and get into the market snapshot for the day. So WSO Alpha portfolio, fairly strong day despite the fact that we lost 24 basis points. That is outperforming the S&P and the NASDAQ. Both those pathetic little indices, they did absolutely terrible. NASDAQ locked 42 basis points. I mean, that's completely humiliating. Can you imagine if we did something like that? I would quit my job on the spot. But the NASDAQ lost 42 bips. The S&P lost 28 bips. Bitcoin and Ethereum, of course, had a volatile last day. Still moving higher, so that kind of helped us a little bit on the downside. Tesla had an absolutely phenomenal day, which we'll be talking about in just a quick second. So that obviously helped us out a little bit as we have a bit higher of an allocation there. We are what the smart people would call overweight. So, of course, that helps out. But overall, strong day for the peel. Let's go ahead and get into some of the banana bits of the session. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but this bridge in Baltimore completely collapsed yesterday. You know, it was an absolute tragedy. Several people are still missing, from my understanding. About six individuals are currently still missing, so our thoughts and prayers go out to them. Not that I can really do anything, but I certainly hope that they get found, and, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to the family, of course, and all that jazz. Now, it did also completely fuck the shipping industry, much less important, or I guess more broadly, the logistics industry here in the United States. So that wasn't exactly ideal either, but, you know, I think we know what the important thing to be focusing on in that case is. Now, I also didn't think this was entirely possible, but it looks like your Starbucks is actually going to get more expensive. That bullshit mocha, frap, whipped cream, whatever nonsense you guys are putting in these lattes, those are going to get more expensive because cocoa beans are absolutely mooning right now. Prices are through the roof. They're setting near record highs, or at least multi-year highs right now. And according to this report, it's not going to get any better. That's a CNBC article too, so you don't even need a subscription to read it. Go ahead and check that out. Now, Treasury yields, on the other hand, are still completely fucking us over. Still rising up through the roof. They've been up all throughout 2024, despite Jerome Powell's switch to a more dovish perspective towards the end of 2023. Obviously, that would imply that rates are going to fall, which would then translate into lower bond yields. But that's not what we're seeing right now. I'm pretty sure the bond market is conspiring to keep mortgage rates higher just to keep me out of the home ownership business. It's got to be the enemy at work. They're always trying to keep me down. You guys know how it goes. All right, and then speaking of housing, you know, yesterday we tried to be all happy-go-lucky about the housing market. We're a little bit biased because we are wannabe home buyers eventually at some point. But, you know, the data that came out today and late yesterday was absolutely horrendous. We got new home sales. So the vast majority, about 70 to 80% of homes sold in the United States are what we call existing, meaning they weren't newly constructed or they've had a previous residential owner before, basically is that definition. New home sales came in below expectations. They actually fell month over month. So it's all fucked once again. I mean, good luck out there if you're trying to buy a home. Come and commiserate with me if you are. All right, let's go ahead and get into the big story for the day. We have This is March. We got a lot to talk about here because feelings are popping off. The good vibes are going. Sentiment is through the roof. And we're starting to get a little bit nervous because of it. So you guys know that old saying, bad markets make strong traders make good markets make bad traders make weak markets, and the cycle continues and continues. Pretty sure that's how the old saying going. If it's like a Marcus Aurelius quote or something like that, pretty sure that's exactly what he was talking about. But like we said, sentiment has absolutely spiked through the roof. And, you know, given that we just changed from winter into spring here in the United States, we're starting to wonder if sentiment was going to experience a similar seasonality change. We'll be talking about that in just a second with some data from everybody's least favorite bulge bracket bank, of course, being Deutsche Bank. They provided a lot of this information, so shout out to them. Don't give us a copyright or anything. We did source you guys, I promise. So in case you guys didn't notice, basically what's happening here is we're starting to see a little bit of a pullback in terms of inflows from retail traders. Now, that's not anything abnormal. We tend to see this rather cyclically. If you guys look at the chart in the piece, you can see that it kind of trades like a stock. Like, it's a little bit predictable. Not to say that anything in markets is predictable whatsoever, but it's kind of a repeated pattern. The only difference is that when this happened in 2023, we saw a market decline with it. We are not seeing that right now. If anybody's been awake over the past 2 weeks, we know the markets are still absolutely ripping. Shout out to AI and crypto for the help out there. So it's a little bit interesting to see that divergence. Now, it's Something that it's like smelling blood in the water from several miles away, like a shark. It's not really a big signal that we should be chasing after, but it is something to be paying attention to because it shows some kind of shifting dynamic in the underlying market. Obviously, like we just said, this is completely unpredictable, but seeing that change of pace, so that's the kind of contrarian indicators that you want to be on the lookout for when there's an overall thematic change in markets. But retail traders are starting to pull back. The question becomes why? Why are they starting to pull back? Because it's not entirely clear because, you know, we know that US consumers have more money than they can ever dream of, especially if we look at this first chart from Deutsche Bank, you know, the least cool bulge bracket to go out and work for. So total equity fund flows as a percentage of US income, they are starting to move higher. Now, I don't mean they're just moving higher in terms of the direction, although that is true, but they're starting to get to the upper bound of their historical range. That's typically a sign that we're getting a little bit overheated, that people are starting to pour their mortgage, their life savings, the kids' college tuition, pretty much everything into markets, probably into Tesla stock based on that announcement from today. Sorry, I'm just excited to talk about it in a minute. But either way, we're seeing that retail traders are still excited for it, but over the past week, the outflows have been much more dominant. So it's an interesting trend to see. There's a very little evidence of bubbly behavior here in the United States besides that. So, you know, we're not necessarily calling for a bubble here whatsoever. We're just giving you guys the facts as always. But if we go ahead and check out some of our other charts, risk appetite isn't necessarily increasing along with these equity inflows, and risk appetite isn't increasing along with the kind of downtrend in terms of inflows from retail traders. Now, Deutsche knows that because they're basically measuring, you know, a lot of the different reasons. I quite honestly, I don't know how they quantify risk appetite, but basically what they're saying here is that we're getting up into that, once again, we're getting to the upper bound. Now, it's not to the extremes just yet, but it certainly is moving in that direction. But once again, the period of November, December, January, everybody knows about the Santa Claus rally. This is a good time for markets and especially a good time for equity inflows. That's when retail traders tend to be, you know, putting the house on the market. And it's over the next couple of months that that trend starts to reverse. So if we continue to see drastic inflows over these coming months when they're seasonally lower inflows is what we typically expect, that will be a sign of an increasing risk appetite, thus furthering the increasing sentiment, thus making us think even more and more that this might be a contrarian indicator. Now, sentiment is exactly the thing that would become a contrarian indicator once it gets up to the extremes. You know, when everybody's a bull, this term euphoria, that's typically, you know, well, one, it's a great show on HBO. You guys should definitely check it out. It's one of the creepiest things I've ever seen. But that term euphoria is, you know, often described as when markets are getting very overheated, and that's undeniably the direction that we're heading in. Not saying that we're there right now, but sentiment is absolutely heating up. Now, a big reason for that is, of course, tech stocks. If we break this down by sector, we can see the vast majority of those inflows, it's absolutely dominated by technology stocks. Most other sectors are actually lower besides telecom and industrials. They've actually been seeing outflows since about the past year or so is how far this chart goes back. But the tech sector has been so ridiculously inflow, kind of magnetic towards those dollars from retail traders, that it's actually bringing the net up to be an actual inflow, despite every other sector being an outflow. So it's an interesting dynamic that we're seeing right there. That is peak degeneracy at its finest as well, pouring into those tech stocks. So obviously we love to see that, but now it is getting into that territory where we're like, maybe we're a little bit too optimistic about what's going to happen going forward. A correction in the market might even be a good thing. If you're a young person like me, if you have an actual life to live ahead of you, then you should actually be rooting for the market to go down. I know it sounds somewhat paradoxical, but the goal is to own as much of the market as you possibly can. And that becomes a lot easier when prices are lower because us on all of our bullshit ass salaries, whatever it might be, we are not exactly able to put a whole lot in there. But if you have a 401k, your employer's contributing, you want to be able to do so at lower prices. Again, owning the most of the market that you possibly can is the ultimate goal. So not only would a correction be a little bit healthy, because we could say, look, we pulled back 5, 10%. 10% is technically when it becomes correction territory. We could say we pulled back 10% and we're still ripping higher. So clearly the market's confident with what's going on in the economy right now. Now, I don't want my mom to come pick me up just yet. I'm not quite that scared, but I'll give her a call as soon as, you know, as soon as we get into that territory. I know she's going to be watching this. So shout out to you, mom. But I'm just very glad I have her on speed dial for when I do become a little bit too scared, then she's going to be coming to scoop me. All right, let's go ahead and get into some of the ripe names for the day. Krispy Kreme donuts. This is one we haven't talked about in a while, but god damn it, those donuts are absolutely phenomenal. I can't imagine life without them. I mean, I grew up in Boston. There's not a lot of Krispy Kremes up there, but if you come down to the south in the territory of the Daily Peel Global headquarters, they're absolutely all over the place, and they will make sure they add a couple of sizes to your waistband. Now, Two absolute pillars of the American diet. The rest of the world, we know that they absolutely envy our diet. Everybody knows that Americans are some of the healthiest people out here. We are seeing two pillars of the legendary American diet actually combine. Get this, take a seat because I'm about to blow your mind here. McDonald's is going to be selling Krispy Kreme donuts going forward. I can't imagine a better world right there. They might as well start selling heroin or something like that. Like, that's pretty much the only reason that we could possibly become happier, but both of those stocks were up on the day. McDonald's was up just a little bit. Krispy Kreme ripped almost 40% on the news, 39.4% on the total day. Now, we did see healthcare companies rise at the same time as well, probably because a combination of McDonald's and Krispy Kreme is absolutely going to have customers and healthcare companies blowing up through the roof, especially Ozempic. And so, of course, these pharmaceutical companies are going to be saving these patients out of the kindness of their own hearts, largely thanks to the failure of those patients' hearts because of, what McDonald's and Krispy Kreme are injecting into their bloodstream. So, very interesting story to see right there. Can't wait for McDonald's to start doing that later on this year and really ramp it up in 2025 and 2026. I plan to get fat as fuck. I hope you guys join me along my journey. All right, let's go ahead and move into Tesla stock for the day. You guys know we love Tesla. Go check out the Tesla report if you haven't already as well. Let me go ahead and show you guys something. If I minimize this and pull up one of my other PowerPoints here, I'm obviously not going to let you guys read exactly what it says on here, but this is what the Tesla report looks like right now. This is 25 pages of in-depth analysis. We have full three-statement financial models delivering our price target. So go ahead and check that out if you want to be part of the cool kids club. Obviously, we have some takes that I'm sure you guys will vehemently disagree with, and we can't wait to hear all the smoke that you have for us. These guys announced that there is going to be a one-month free trial for all U.S. for all Teslas in the United States to have free, completely free FSD capabilities for the next month. It's going to begin later on this week. Absolutely huge news coming from Tesla. This is their autonomous driving. It's a huge vote of confidence in that direction, saying we got this shit figured out. We're going to give it to everybody in the country. I can't believe the stock only rose 2.9% on the day. What happened to my screen here? There we go. I can't believe the stock only rose 2.9% on the day personally. That seems way too little. We bought some additional shares, signed up for Alpha to see how much we actually did buy. Can't believe I just stepped on our content once again right there. But it was a great day for Tesla investors, especially if you're holding for the long term. Let's go ahead and get into some of the rotten names for the day. UPS. The ticker symbol is UPS. They did the exact opposite. This company, they suck at delivering packages, so I can't imagine why anybody would think they'd be able to deliver a good day for shareholders. And they absolutely did not. They were down 8.2% on the day following their investor day. And that's what happens when your dumbass comes out there and projects a 40% reduction in profits for the quarter. Now, they did say this is pretty much going to be the worst of it, but I smell bullshit on that projection. CEO Carol Tomei said it was going to be the absolute worst. Investors obviously aren't buying that. Pretty much Amazon is just absolutely dominating the market right now. So there's a bit of a price war going on, even though the CEO did deny that as well. But like I said, we can smell bullshit from a mile away. So bold move from them. Now, moving on to our last piece of shit stock for the day, we have, of course, Canada Goose down 6.8%. Canada Goose, they sell those jackets that you see half your business school walking around wearing. I mean, they should honestly get a sponsorship from places like HBS and all that other bullshit for keeping all their students warm in the brutal cold that is the Boston winter. But essentially, they are laying off 17% of their workforce. Now, I certainly hope they're not laying off the Canada geese that they pluck, torture, and whatever else they do to these things to make those jackets so good. But they're going to be laying off some of the individuals that are probably doing the plucking, I would imagine, and other kinds of animal abuse that almost certainly goes on. But either way, they're laying off 17% of their workforce. They ascribe the reasoning being to over-hiring over the past couple of years. Tech companies followed a very similar trend where they hired just way too many people during the growth period. So when consumers had more money than they knew what the fuck to do with, Canada Goose hired a shit ton of motherfuckers to come in and run that place. And obviously, that wasn't going to last for the long term. Now that we're starting to see reduced good spending, as we talked about in our Lululemon video as well, go check out our analysis of Lululemon stock, find out if you should buy that or not. Now, it's a similar trend here. We're starting to see a little bit of a reduction in spending on goods. And so, obviously, that's hitting Canada Goose. They're firing people because of it. All right. I can't even believe we're saying this, but this, I have been waiting to talk about this for so long, and I know my dad has as well. A lot of shout-outs to the family today, but it has been 887 days since one of the biggest, best, most bigly SPACs in the entire market actually listed. This was called DWAC, Digital World Acquisition Corp. And at the time, they announced that they were going to be purchasing a little company called the Trump Media and Technology Group Corporation. Yes, that is the legal name. They go by TMTG. That is technically what they like to be called. And that stock is officially public, trading under the ticker symbol DJT, Donald John Trump. So Go ahead and check that out. Your dad probably actually made his money back on his investment that he made back in 2021 when markets were popping off. So, essentially, what happened here, the other big factor, of course, is the legal cases going on with Donald Trump. We don't get political over here at the Daily Peel, but effectively, what happened is guy was ordered to pay $500 million, obviously, couldn't do that in cash. Now, a second appellate court reduced the ultimate determination of how much that payment was going to be to $175 million for right now. It certainly could go up to that $500 million once again if they lose another appeals case, but for right now, he owes $175 million. And owning about 58% of Trump Media and Technology Group is going to save his fucking ass, especially now that it's actually public. So his ownership stake in the stock peaked today at about $4.87 billion. He owns roughly 58%, 80 million total shares. Once again, about $4.87 million at the closing price of $57.99. The thing absolutely ripped. It was up 51.61% over the past 5 days. Up, I think it ended up today about 16% in total because ripped a shit ton yesterday. Yesterday was when the news was released. Today was when it actually started trading publicly. So, you know, it's a great day for your dad. Give him a call. Tell him congratulations on his holdings in Donald Trump stock. In case you guys forgot, the goal of this company is basically to disrupt, like, everything from Meta to Netflix to goddamn AWS. Like, they have big goals, certainly no shorter to that. The biggest goals that you ever seen. I mean, I walked in and I said, wow, this company's goals are big. So that's basically what we're looking at right now. They had a lot of bold projections in that investor piece that they released back in the day. So go ahead and check that out. October 20th, 2021, TMTG released their initial pitch deck. It has been 21 months, 887 days. I thought that was a ridiculously long time for the merger to go through, especially given that it's such a small company at this point. But turns out the average merger time is within 2 years. So we're not above that rate. We won't make fun of them for it just yet. Wait a minute, that is above 2 years. Yeah, so fuck that. Bully that. They took way longer than average. That's absolutely ridiculous, probably because this company is absolutely nothing. The CEO of the company, Devin Nunes, he's a former congressman that had his, he was brown-nosing Trump more than just about anybody else, but, you know, seems like a decent guy. He actually started a cattle business when he was 14 years old. Now, cattle doesn't necessarily translate into a tech and media company, but still, he's an entrepreneurial guy. He knows business. He was in Congress, which again, probably not great to have on your resume when you're trying to run a tech and media company, but that's what's going on right now. This might be the weirdest thing that a former president has ever done, besides Bill Clinton, like sniffing people or something like that, whatever the fuck these guys do. But this was definitely a bold move, absolutely saving him in his New York fraud case, but still, gotta be a good day for the boy. Now, of course, we had to finish up with a quote from the man himself, Mr. Donald Trump. I don't know if he's a front runner right now. He's probably tied with Big Dog Joey B. But he said, "Sometimes your best investments are the one that you don't make." That's actually a very wise quote. I couldn't agree with that anymore. I mean, imagine if you did end up investing in something like FTX, if you were dumb enough to buy that coin. Obviously, it's a great investment for everybody that didn't buy that. So shout out to all of you right there. Guys, that about does it for us here today. Oh, damn, I didn't realize my little Jason Tatum bobblehead is out of the frame so much. But like I said, that about does us here for the day. You know, it's always fun talking to you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll, of course, see you tomorrow. Happy investing, happy trading. Stay tuned with markets and read the Peel. Check out those charts that we talked about as well. So, bye now, everybody.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick at wallstreetoasis.com. And until next time.